Podcasting from behind her locked bathroom door, the only quiet place in the house, this is the Homeschool Sanity Show, a twice-monthly podcast with expert advice for happier, healthier homeschool living. And now, here's your host, Christian psychologist and homeschool mom of six, Dr. Melanie Wilson.
This is Dr. Melanie Wilson, and I am here talking about a topic that I know so many homeschool moms especially can relate to. Our title is, I Deserve a Donut After All That Homeschooling, and Other Lies Homeschool Moms Believe. This is a topic that's near and dear to my heart because I did struggle with overeating for many, many years, and I tried many different things to cope with it and overcome it. And we will get into what finally worked for me because I think our guest is going to be able to relate to my experience and is going to be able to share some wisdom with us today. My guest is Barb Raveling. She is an online friend of mine. We have chatted multiple times online, but we've never spoken on the phone before, so I'm really looking forward to talking with her today. She lives in Montana with her husband and the youngest of their four children. After homeschooling for 21 years, she and her husband are about to experience the empty nest, and I know that I will be able to rely on Barb to help me through that part of life when I get to it. In her spare time, she likes to camp, ski, hike, read, and hang out with family and friends. Barb is the author of Freedom from Emotional Eating and also the book we're going to discuss today, I Deserve a Donut and Other Lies That Make You Eat. She blogs about the renewing of the mind at barbraveling.com, and I have so enjoyed her blog and have really benefited from the biblical wisdom that she shares there. Barb, welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show.
Thanks, Melanie. It's good to be here.
Well, I'm hoping that you can tell us even more about your family than what I just shared, and also how you decided to homeschool in the first place.
Well, we have two boys and two girls. One is still at home. Two of them are in college, and one is out working already. And we started homeschool when our oldest was 5 years old. We were ready to put him into kindergarten, but he was already reading at that time, and I was afraid he might be bored in kindergarten. Plus, we had a bunch of friends who homeschooled, and it just seemed like an interesting way to do school, and so we decided to give it a try, and we just kept on going. I've homeschooled for 21 years now.
And you have really been blessed by it, I take it.
Yes, it was an incredible blessing. When the kids were young, it was a sacrifice, especially in the winters. We lived in a small house, and it was a lot of work, so some of those years were sacrifice years, but the older the kids got, the less of a sacrifice it was, and the more we just thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm so thankful now that we stuck with it all those years.
Well, yeah, living in Montana, I can't imagine being in the house with the snow.
Yeah, it was a little noisy.
with four children. I'm from South Dakota, and people always assume that I like the cold weather, and no, I don't. I'm very happy to be living in Missouri now.
Yeah.
Well, Barb, I have a copy of your book, and I absolutely love it. And you mention in the book that you battled eating issues at one time just like I did. When did that start for you?
Well, probably started in high school. I always loved to eat, so I started developing bad habits even when I was younger in grade school. But I didn't really start struggling with eating until I started emotional eating. That started when I was in high school, and it different for different reasons as I went throughout my life. In high school, I was on a dance team, and we had to make weigh-ins, so I always worried about if I was going to make weight, because if we didn't make weight, we couldn't perform. So that's when I started the binge cycle, where we diet to try and lose the weight, make the weigh-ins, and then we'd binge afterwards. Then in college, I started eating to procrastinate. And then when I had kids and homeschooling, stay-at-home mom, I probably started eating for excitement and for different other emotions in those years. And so all that emotional eating just led to a constant problem with weight.
You know, there are so many reasons to overeat, aren't there?
Yes, there are. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the problems. We can always come up with a good reason why we deserve that donut.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you know, I had some similar issues with eating. Mine really started when I was home in the summers with my brother, and both my parents were working. And I think I was just incredibly bored. And so I would just look forward to eating. And I remember once when I was just 10, I ate an entire can of cherry pie filling. And I thought, that isn't really very normal.
Right.
You know, I thought that was kind of a problem. And I didn't really notice that I had a problem with eating again until I was in high school and I was an athlete. I was in track, but the school nurse had to weigh us as part of a physical that they did on all the students. And I remember that she was shocked by how much I weighed. At the time, I weighed 128 pounds and I was 5'5" tall. And as an athlete who was muscular, that was not an abnormal weight at all. And she was probably reacting to the fact that I weighed that much, but I was still so small. But I took it that I weighed too much. And
wow,
so,
that's not really that much, especially for somebody who's 5'6".
No, 5'5". I was
5'5".
But
not very much.
No, it isn't. But that is what set the dieting cycle in motion for me. And, of course, you won't be surprised to hear that I lost a lot of weight. I got down to 115 pounds, but then I gained it all back and then some.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's what usually happens.
Right. That's the cycle that gets started. And it continued then into college and got worse my freshman year of college. But we'll talk about that in a little while. I'm interested in knowing what kinds of things did you do to try to deal with your overeating?
Well, mostly just dieting. I went on all kinds of different diets. Actually, I even invented a diet at one point. My sister and I tried it out. And it was this incredible diet. Our idea was every 3 days we give up a new food group. And by the time maybe 2 weeks into the diet, we'd have nothing left to eat, so we'd naturally lose weight. So like the first three days we gave up pie, then the second 3 days we gave up cake, and then the next 3 days ice cream. Well, the night before we went out for all of our little treats, we would go out and we'd have whatever that was that we were going to give up the next day. About 2 weeks into the diet, we ran out of good things to eat and we quit the diet because it was boring. But we gained about 5 pounds, so it was a fun diet but not a very effective diet.
Well, it was creative, I will give you that.
Yes, it was creative. But yeah, dieting, I didn't ever like exercising enough to try the exercise route, so just dieting for me.
Well, Barb, how did you finally discover the answer to your problem then if dieting didn't work for you?
Well, the funny thing is I discovered the answer to my problem in a Bible study on marriage. This was like maybe 27 years into my problems with eating. So I've been having eating problems for that long. And then my husband and I, we did a Bible study with another couple and some friends of ours. And the Bible study was on marriage, and we all said, let's each just choose one thing to work on our marriage, one fault. We'll work on that and see if we can improve our marriages. So since I had a problem of being easily annoyed with my husband, I decided to try and work on that. And my plan was to think positive. So I bought a journal, and I thought each time I have a negative thought about my husband, I'll write that down in my journal, and then I'll write a positive thought right down it right afterwards. So I did that for several days, and it wasn't long before I realized a lot of my negative thoughts weren't just negative thoughts, but they were actually lies. So I started replacing lies with truth, and I called it truth journaling. And I couldn't believe what a difference it made in my emotions. It was only after the fact that I realized that this is the biblical method of the renewing of the mind. If you look at 2 Corinthians 10:5, it talks about making our thoughts obedient to Jesus Christ. And when I was believing lies about my husband, I wasn't making my thoughts obedient to him. So I replaced those lies with the truth. I was no longer annoyed with him. And after doing that for 2 months, I had changed so much in the way I felt about them. I thought, wow, this could really change all areas of your life. And so then I started working on the same thing, the renewing of the mind with eating after that.
And it must have worked for you.
Well, it worked, but it certainly didn't work as quickly as the annoyance problem. When I started, I thought, well, that's great. 2 months for anger, and now 2 months for eating, and then I'll just go through my life, boom, 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 and everything will be fixed. Well, it took a lot longer than 2 months for eating because there's so many things I didn't know about it. I didn't know about lifelong boundaries, so I couldn't just eat whatever I wanted when I wanted. I felt like eating all the time, so it wasn't really practical at the time to do it. There's just so much more involved in it, so many more layers to the eating issue than there was to the annoyance issue that it just took a while longer. I'm trying to think of how long it took. It was about 7 years ago. No, probably about 10 years ago I first started truth journaling, maybe 12 years ago. And I've been free from the control of food probably for 7 years. But I wasn't consistently renewing my mind all that time. I'd give up. I'd start again. I'd give up. So it was just a process of really learning how to do it, learning all the issues that fed into it. So it took a while.
Well, you eventually wrote a book. This latest book that you wrote is mm-hmm. all about renewing the mind where eating issues are concerned. And I have read many, many diet books, and I can tell you that your book is very, very different. What would you say makes it so unique?
Well, I think because it offers a practical way to renew your mind, right in the moment of temptation or right after you've already given into temptation. See, most diet books, they focus on behavior, eating right, exercise, little tricks that help, and those are all good things. I mean, those are things we can definitely add to overcoming eating. But the biblical method of transformation is in Romans 12:2, we're transformed by the renewing of the mind. And the Greek word for transformation is a word that talks about change that starts on the inside and then radiates out towards the behavior. So instead of just trying to control what we eat, we're changing what we think so that we don't even want to eat outside of our boundaries anymore.
Well, that is just an excellent, that's the kind of thing that you want to tweet and you want to save it for later, changing what we think so that we don't even want to eat something that isn't going to be good for us. Well, Barb, we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, I want to talk with you more about the lies that we believe that keep us overeating.
Nothing's scarier when you're a mom than hearing,
"What's for dinner?"
You can have no fear when you download your free copy of the Once and For All Meal Plan from PsychoWith6.com. You'll have a meal plan for the pickiest of eaters that will save you time, money, and your family's health. That's just one of the great free resources at PsychoWith6, that's the number 6.com.
Barb, before we took that break, we were talking about the lies that we can believe that can keep us overeating and can really interfere with sticking with any kind of a diet plan. What are some of those lies?
Well, there's it's just one bite. We think it's really going to be one bite, but it always leads to more bites, and pretty soon we're just eating like crazy. There's the lie that says this will make me feel better, or if she's eating, I should get to eat too, or the lie that's on the cover of the book, I deserve a donut. So there's those different eating lies that make us want to eat or make us want to break our eating plan, but there's also life lies, lies like life should be fair, or life should be easy, or I shouldn't have to suffer. See, if we believe those things about life, then when life isn't fair, or when life is hard, or if all of a sudden we're thrown into some situation where, you know, we're required to suffer, we're going to want to eat to comfort ourselves or eat as a reward or eat in some way to make up for all the bad things that are going on in life. So I have a section of the book on emotional eating too, which covers all of those the problems in life. So I have lies that make you eat and emotions that make you eat.
And then when we recognize, which I bet many of our listeners are right now, recognizing that they have believed some of those lies, then how can your book help us live according to the truth?
Well, the book has questions in it. So questions in Bible verses, actually. So what happens, let's say you're in an eating situation. I'm thinking back to my homeschooling years when I had all the little kids at home, and really anybody deals with this. Life is hard, and you think, you just feel like eating. So I could go to the front of the book, and there's a table of contents, and I could look through all the lies that make me eat, and I could go to that section. Like, say, for example, I feel like I need this. So I'd go to the emotional eating section. Here, I'm turning into it right now. I have my book in my hand. Okay, and then it has a bunch of questions in it. So the first question is, what's going on in your life that's making you want to eat? And so then I would just say what's going on. You know, maybe the kids are going crazy. I have a million things to do. I'm feeling overwhelmed. And so I'm starting to look at what's the problem that's really making me want to eat. We're looking underneath the surface to see what's wrong, what's driving our desire to eat. And so then you go through this list of questions, and as you go through the questions, you'll normally notice your desire changing because the questions, they bring up the lies we're believing that are making us want to eat. I often, when I'm doing the questions, I'll use it as a time to talk to God about life, and I'll set the book down after I do a question. I'll visit with him for a little while, then I'll go back to the next question, and by the end of the questions, I'm usually in a much different frame emotionally, and I don't feel like eating anymore. And then we can also pray through all the Bible verses. Each set of questions has a bunch of Bible verses to pray through and tips, so they can just change your mindset.
What I really like, it's really as though you're sitting with a counselor who is asking you questions about what's going on with you.
I feel the same way because I actually use the questions myself. And it is like you're sitting down with the little counselor. The counselor is saying, now, Barb, what are you thinking? Is that really? Mm-hmm. Do you need to change anything?
Very similar to the kinds of questions.
Hopefully a nice counselor. Hopefully a nice, comforting counselor.
He's a nice counselor.
Been there before.
They're very kind but direct questions, the kinds of questions that I would have asked my clients when I was in clinical practice. I really, really like that. And one of the things I was so impressed by, Barb, which I hope you will tell us about, is how your friend used this book. Your friend didn't use this book just when she was tempted to overeat, but how did she use it and what were her results?
Well, she used it instead of using it every time she was tempted to eat, or even after she'd given into temptation, she just started going through the book one set of questions at a time. So she'd just start one set of questions in the morning, and then she'd think about it during the day, and then she'd do another set of questions the next day. So she just kind of went page by page. Actually, at that time, I didn't have a book. They were just printed out questions. So she did it that way, and she did also limit her eating. She was on an eating plan, so she wasn't just doing the questions. She had an eating plan too, but she's lost, I'm not sure how much she's lost now, but over 100 pounds, and she's doing great. She just really looks great. Now, I could never get myself to do the questions before I broke my boundaries either, or truth journal before I broke my boundaries. I always wanted to eat too much. And I think a lot of us are like this. When we get into that eating mode, we just really want to eat, and we don't want to do any questions because, at least in my case, I was afraid the questions would make me not want to eat anymore. So I didn't do them because I wanted to eat. But I made a deal with myself. I'd say, okay, I'm going to eat this food, but I will renew my mind afterwards. And I did that. And the renewing of the mind, it's changing our beliefs bit by bit. So it's okay to do it after you give in to temptation. It's not as effective in the weight loss department, but it'll still work to change your thoughts. And if you think of how many lies we have built up that are making us give in to want to eat, you know, just you could almost picture a wall of lies, and each little stone in the wall is a lie. Okay, every time we renew our mind, we're taking that lie out. We're taking a little stone out from the wall. So whether you take it off before temptation or after, it's still coming out. We're still putting the truth on. But it just, you know, takes longer to lose weight that way.
I'm so glad that you said that, because I think so many of us feel like a double failure. You know, not only did I break my eating boundaries, but I didn't, you know, go and get my book. I didn't go to God's Word and, you know, stop and think it through. But you're giving us permission to, when we do overeat, we do eat something that we didn't plan on eating, that we can go ahead and renew our minds after the fact too.
That's true. In fact, a couple of times I even renewed my mind while I was eating. I remember maybe two or three times I was truth journaling while I was eating maybe like a frappe or drinking a frappe or something like that. And halfway through, my desires changed and I actually stopped eating it. If it only happened a few times, usually I waited till the end because I didn't really want to give it up. But it's pretty effective. And if you do start beating yourself up, I have self-condemnation questions. I have regret questions. I have failure questions. So I've kind of built the book around all the times I'm tempted to eat and the situations I was tempted to eat for. And so I have, I think there's like 37 different sets of questions and Bible verses in the book for all kinds of different situations.
Well, that is amazing. And I just want to emphasize again that the other excellent feature of this book is that it works with any way that you feel led to eat. So it's not like you have to count calories. You don't, unless you want to. If you want to count calories, you certainly can and use this book. It's not a specific diet plan, but really, as you keep emphasizing, it's a way of renewing our minds in the biblical sense, and it can make any approach to eating more effective. And even more importantly than how we're eating, it's how we're relating to the Lord with our attitudes and our actions. And I'm just so, so excited about what you've put together, Barb, because it's just excellent. Well, as we are recording and this is going live for the first time, Thanksgiving and Christmas are coming up. And talk about tempting times of year when it comes to overeating. I know I have tried to go through many holidays with my eating plan intact and definitely was not always successful, especially before I found victory with overeating. What can we do now so that we don't violate our eating boundaries over the holidays?
Well, I would think prepare ahead of time with truth. So you could ask yourself, what kind of lies do I believe that make me want to overeat at holidays? So you could, like, if you had this book, you could start doing the questions and Bible verses ahead of time. But if you didn't have the book, you could still just write down the lies you believe. Lies like, I'll never get this again, so I better eat as much as I can now, say with Thanksgiving dinner. Or the truth is, we'll get it again the next day. It'll be there for leftovers. And if it's not, you could always make it again that weekend. So it's not the last time you'll get it. So you could go through some of those lies and truths to prepare. But also in a practical sense, you could do things like simplify your life, simplify your meals. I know during the Christmas season, sometimes I just get overwhelmed. I want to procrastinate. And if I turn to food for procrastination, that'll make me want to eat. So if there's any way that you could kind of curb some of those things practically, that would help. I also remember when I was homeschooling and the kids were all little, I felt like I had to do every single dish of that Thanksgiving meal that we grew up having. Now, if I had to go back and do those days over again, I think I would have simplified the days, the meals that we just ate with our family, not with our another family. I would have limited the dishes, so it wouldn't have been so much work.
That's excellent advice. I know some things that helped me when it came to the holidays. I know one of the lies that I believed was that it was my last chance to eat those foods.
Right.
This is my last chance to have the pumpkin pie. It was my last chance to have my cranberry salad, my grandmother's cranberry salad, which I absolutely love. And the truth is that I can make pumpkin pie in the middle of July if I want to.
That's right.
And have a small piece of it any time. And that really helped me to realize that, you know, there's no pressure on us to try to, you know, snarf down as much food as we can just because, you know, we think it's our last chance to have it, because it absolutely isn't. You can make a Christmas or a Thanksgiving dish any time of year. And that's how blessed we are, especially in this country, to have as much to eat as we need. Most of the people listening to this certainly have enough to eat.
Right.
And
that's
that
true.
Is a blessing.
We can also think, too, about, you know, how will we feel if we eat as much as we want to eat, and how will we feel if we eat with control?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe make a list of the advantages of eating with control over the holidays, advantages of the disadvantages of eating control. Whenever I make a list like that, I have one thing on the advantage side and about eight things on the disadvantage side. So that kind of drills it into my mind that, you know, that's really ridiculous to eat as much as I want and stuff myself because of all the consequences of stuffing myself.
Mm-hmm. I also found it helpful when it came to those holiday meals when so many different dishes were available to just take a very small amount of everything that I wanted so that I wasn't, you know, eating a huge pile of mashed potatoes and then thinking, but I haven't even had any pie yet, you know. So just, you know, it might not be okay with your family members for you to dig into the desserts with your meal. You might have to wait. But you can take just a small portion of everything that you would like to have so that you aren't just completely stuffed by the time you're done with the meal. And that has also helped me during the holidays as well.
Yeah, that's great advice.
Well, you know, I have talked about my own just really blessing from the Lord in terms of being able to stop overeating. I tried everything. I tried psychology. I was even in a weight loss group with other psychology students, and that didn't work. The accountability, the weekly weigh-ins, did not work for me, dieting, exercise. I really tried just about everything that I could think of to try over the years. And for me, God waited until I completely turned it over to him and I said, I can't do it. And it was as though God said, finally, that is what I have been waiting for you to say. Mm-hmm. Because you think, Melanie, that you can do everything on your own. And if anyone is listening to this and that's them, they just think, well, I just need to try harder. I just need to be more dedicated. I need more willpower. Then I encourage you to turn it over to the Lord and allow him to begin renewing your mind. Sometimes even renewing our minds is something that he does for us, which is incredible. And I pray that this discussion that I've been having with Barb has been a part of that for you, that you begin to see that you have believed lies and that there is a way that your mind can be renewed, that you can be transformed according to his word. Well, I am very thrilled that you are going to be giving one of our listeners a copy of I Deserve a Donut. We're going to be doing a giveaway at psychowithfix.com from November 26th through December 3rd of 2013. But if someone really would like that book and they aren't the winner, where can they find that book, Barb?
Well, it's available on Amazon, and I think it's available on Barnes & Noble too. So far, okay. That's all it's available on.
Okay, and it's I Deserve a Donut, and it's reasonably priced, would be a great gift to request for yourself. You probably don't want to give it to someone else who you think needs to lose weight, but if you know that you need it, then you can request that as a gift. And I love Amazon has a great wish list. You could add it to your wish list, but it's very reasonably priced, so you could buy it for yourself as a gift as well. And if you are needing more encouragement, whether it's with issues of weight loss or just changing your life, the wisdom that Barb shares on her blog will really bless you as it has me. Barb, what is the name of your blog again?
BarbRavling.com. They can also get to it at BeyondTheSinner'sPrayer.com.
BeyondTheSinner'sPrayer.com. Barb Ravling, her last name is RAVELING.com. Barb, I have loved chatting with you about this topic, which I know is near and dear to your heart because it changed your life and you want to see it change other women's lives. So thank you so much for taking the time to come and talk with us today.
Thanks for having me, Melanie.
Thank you for joining us for the Homeschool Sanity Show with Dr. Melanie Wilson. Visit Melanie at psychowith6.com, that's the number 6, for more sanity-saving ideas. The Homeschool Sanity Show is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.